Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Overcoming Deafness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 11, I'm reading to verse 19. This is Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 11. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Verse 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force." Verse 13. "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." Verse 14. "And if you receive it, this is Elijah, which was to come." Verse 15. "And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 16. "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's likened unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows." Verse 17. "And saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented." Verse 18. "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil." Verse 19. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children." Many times Jesus said to let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you're ignoring what God is showing you about your own life through the Holy Spirit, your spiritual hearing will get worse. Do not let church activities or singing songs replace the need for deep repentance in your own life. Those who take all the easy subjects first at school end up with the hardest ones at the end. Better to start with repentance. If you believe deep repentance actually makes the spiritual life easier, your life will shine when you are no longer conformed to this world. Those making negative comments and gossiping through social media need to repent. Time has run out for all those trying to force their way into the kingdom at the end. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Those still conformed to this world in the body of Christ are spiritually deaf, ignoring conviction in order to do what you want when you want for the sake of your flesh, is also ignoring the Holy Spirit that Christ gave to all his people. Born again, you have the Holy Spirit to help you get ready. And you cannot claim ignorance. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 11:11 says, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Jesus died so that the least person who takes up his cross daily could shine brightly with the kingdom of God functioning inside of them on the narrow way. If you love truth, you can now grow quickly, and the Holy Spirit will use you to help others with a heart after God. You can be used in a greater way than John the Baptist. But many prefer to be a gentle version of Jesus instead, from a fear of losing friends. Do not hold on to anything in this life, as it will be a snare. By losing something for Christ's sake, you will get something better in quality and quantity. In the Living Bible, Matthew 11:11-15 says, "Truly of all men ever born, none shines more brightly than John the Baptist. And yet even the lesser lights in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than he is." And from the time John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, ardent multitudes have been crowding toward the kingdom of heaven, for all the laws and prophets look forward to the Messiah. Then John appeared. And if you're willing to understand what I mean, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come at this time the kingdom begins. If ever you were willing to listen, listen now. John was functioning like Elijah by calling the nation to repentance. Those who had ears to hear came to him in the wilderness, in the heat, and were baptized. In the same way, a blind man recognized Jesus was a descendant of David. By listening to testimonies of others, they heard about the Messiah. Matthew 9:27 and Matthew 20:30-31. Eventually, large crowds were saying it too. Matthew 21:9. But the religious Jews, with a confidence in the flesh, did not recognize Jesus was their Messiah. Those things you are looking for or trying to discern with your mind will make you deaf spiritually. John wrote in 1 John 2:14-17. This is 1 John 2:14. "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Verse 17. "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." John was writing to the fathers because they knew Jesus from the beginning and did not need a second spiritual experience to hear, trust, and obey, just like the first disciples in Matthew 4:20. John wrote to the young men who had overcome the wicked one with a struggle. Both groups were overcomers, but he told all of them not to love the world in any way through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Often those with a better view of politics and world events cannot see the need for the narrow way and deep repentance. The spiritual can examine all things, come to the truth, and easily, because they want to obey God. God lets those with a confidence in the flesh fail, so they wake up to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. And repent of their own lordship. You can only receive the things of God when you get rid of all the unbelief in your heart, built on lies that you have accumulated through a confidence in the flesh. Samuel Chadwick, who lived 1860 to 1932, a lay preacher also, served as president of the Wesleyan Methodist Conference 1918 to 1919. He was also the principal lecturer at Cliff College near Chesterfield, England. Samuel said, "The man who thinks he can know the Word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. Refuse to believe lies that God gave you a brain and expects you to use it to make the decisions yourself if you want excellent results spiritually." Whenever Samuel Chadwick sent out those young men he was training in the ministry, he would always say, "Go and may the devil go with you." Many would hear that statement and not understand. Samuel believed that if the young men sent out would trust and obey the Holy Spirit, they would be victorious and no harm would come to them. He also believed if the devil did not turn up at their meetings, they had become ineffective by listening to their own carnal desires. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, this is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Gifted and talented Christian leaders today do not see the need to ask God the small things. They have chosen ignorance because they want to be in control of their personal lives. When I started the ministry through conviction, I recognized the importance of asking God everything. I realized any other conclusion was proud. I needed to know those ministering around me. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. I asked those I knew if Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 meant that you should ask God what socks to wear, for example. Only one pastor agreed that you needed to do Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6, as it says. And that was about 30 years ago. One preacher I knew who had a worldwide charismatic ministry reacted and started speaking against the need to ask God the small things on the radio. Soon he ran out of grace. His ministry stopped and his wife became very sick and died. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7. because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Thinking is dangerous. To be like Christ, you should be listening in complicated situations. If you claim thinking is a habit, like breathing, that you cannot break, then take the same amount of time to listen in between thinking. If you continue to make excuses for using your mind, the grace of God will run out, and you will have to do your first works over. Those who know God keep their minds still so God can drop his thoughts there. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Those who are wise use what they hear to trust and obey his instructions and improve their hearing. Those in a dead church using their minds to come to truth conclude they do not need repentance after a while because they don't see anyone else changing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 32. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 21. I'm reading verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and yea, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. John did not compromise on the truth. He explained to everyone that the fruits of repentance were required to be ready for Jesus' appearing. Those who heard John were blessed. Their lives changed, and they had ears to hear more. Jesus continued teaching with hard sayings that people did not want to hear, that reduced the size of the crowds following him from 4,000 and 5,000 to just 120 at the end. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 to 53. This is Acts chapter 7. I'm reading verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. In the book, The Kingdom of God Now, in chapter 2, on the Kingdom of Heaven, on page 12, Joseph Hedgecott writes, don't just read and acquire more knowledge, then disregard the parts that are bothersome to you. Many believers do that. They skip over every part that makes them uncomfortable and search for things that tickle their ears. They look for the blessings, but they never want the corresponding responsibilities that go with the blessings. If you do that, you will only deceive yourself. It is imperative that you have ears to hear the hard sayings, because they will make the most dramatic changes in your life. They are the truths that will qualify you to live in the kingdom of God. The religious Jews that ignored the warning of John saw the sinless life of Jesus and the evidence that he is the Messiah were stiff-necked. The religious Jews perished in AD 70 after they refused to embrace the conviction of the Holy Spirit of killing the Christ in their hearts. Instead of repenting, in rebellion to God, they started the persecution. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. This is Galatians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Paul was ignorantly taught righteousness through keeping the law from the time he was old enough to understand. However, he was the only one saved among the religious Jews through deep repentance and faith that qualified to minister as an apostle. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul's life was used as a testimony of what God's grace could do in those who repent deeply of using their mind to come to the truth. Continue in his goodness by working out your salvation in fear and trembling, and you'll become a priest of God too on the narrow way. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 5, Work Out Your Salvation, on page 86, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you use your notebook from Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, effectively, you will be set free from sin, satanic traps, and hindrances every day. This is the very definition of working out your salvation daily. If you do not allow God to save you from the devil's traps on a regular basis, you are not obeying Philippians 2:12. Every sin that the Spirit exposes is a snare that has taken you captive. To me, this was and continues to be an exciting process. I do not want any hindrance left in my life. Do you? Conviction is a tremendous blessing because it provides another opportunity to repent and shut the door to the devil's accesses. When God forgave your sin, the curse was removed. However, being saved does not renew your mind. Many believers have been taught they automatically have the mind of Christ at the moment of salvation. But this is a false doctrine. This deception can be easily seen by the evidence of ungodly thoughts and actions after salvation. Your flesh does not immediately die at salvation, but must be mortified until it no longer has any influence on you. If God has to use someone repeatedly to speak the same thing that God can say directly by his Spirit, you are dull of hearing. Your level of obedience to the Spirit should not change when your spiritual authority in the human realm is absent. Use a notebook to record a list of sins you commit by leaning to your own understanding. With the Holy Spirit as your teacher, you will be totally set free from sin through repentance. You will experience no condemnation as old sins pass away. Romans 8:1. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent. Work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Conviction is a blessing, and you ought to see it that way. If you harden your heart to the truth, you do not believe. Those being told in churches that God understands that you cannot stop sinning do not get the help they need to enter the kingdom of heaven today. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It's hard to find anyone in the church who understands the importance of true repentance and hearing God in all areas. Leaders that have been through Bible school with the latest ideas for church growth rarely believe thinking is dangerous. The church in Galatia got a period of grace to repent deeply of dead works, but they had not established a deep enough foundation when the persecution started again. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You will never become perfect using common sense and reason. You need to get on the narrow way and start hearing the word of truth. Renewed persecution exposed those in Galatia that still had a confidence in the flesh. What would close your ears to the truth for the sake of your comfortable religious lifestyle? The wise can hear the truth in complicated situations. You can also become a foolish virgin if you do not work on the revelation under pressure that you receive and take it with you. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This is Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is encompassed with infirmity. Verse 3. And by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer our sins. Verse 4. And no man takes this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son today, have I begotten thee. Verse 6. And he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. As high priest of our salvation, Jesus had to look like a reprobate. See Isaiah chapter 53. Separated from his father through our sin, Jesus was tried and tested. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. But laid down his life willingly. The Father raised him from the dead to confirm he was not reprobate, but the true mediator between God and man. Hebrews 8:6. Only Jesus should be making the final decisions for your life when you're under pressure. Paul wrote a long letter to the new converts left behind in Jerusalem about becoming priests of God in humble circumstances. But they were dull of hearing. They did not get the grace that Paul had through striving on the narrow way because they were stiff-necked. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But if they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus qualified as a priest of God through trusting obedience right up to his death on the cross for the sins of the whole world. If you're going to rule and reign with Christ, learn obedience and be strong in the grace now. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1. Not everyone is going to be part of the first resurrection. Jesus is coming for those who make no excuses for disobeying the Holy Spirit. The devil is not the problem. The problem is you listening to your flesh under some pressure. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. God delivered him from death because he never sinned. Jesus could hear consistently because he was uncompromisingly righteous. You can do the same by grace as a sweet-smelling savour, relying completely on the Holy Spirit every step of the way. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You will be corrected by a man of God for vain thinking. Live in the light and keep repenting on the narrow way, and you will be spiritually useful in the church of Jesus Christ. You'll not be guilty of building a shallow foundation. God has the plan. So having the right motive and attitude is more important than the techniques of how to hear God's voice in one or two areas. Jesus will never let you be tempted beyond your own ability, but you will be overcome if you do not learn to hear his voice as the pressure increases. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 5, 1 to 11 says, the Jewish high priest is merely a man like anyone else, but he's chosen to speak for all other men in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers to him the blood of animals that are sacrificed to cover the sins of the people and his own sins too. And because he's a man, he can deal gently with other men, though they are foolish and ignorant. For he too is surrounded with the same temptations and understands their problems very well. Another thing to remember is that no one can be a high priest just because he wants to be. He has to be called by God for this work, in the same way God chose Aaron. This is why Christ did not elect himself to the honor of being high priest. No, he was chosen by God. God said to him, "My son, today I have honored you." Another time, God said to him, "You have been chosen to be a priest forever, with the same rank as Melchizedek." Yet while Christ was here on earth, and he pleaded with God, praying with tears and agony of soul to the only one who would save him from premature death. And God heard his prayers because of his strong desire to obey God at all times. And even though Jesus was God's son, he had to learn from experience what it was like to obey, when obeying meant suffering. It was after he had proved himself perfect in this experience that Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Remember that God has chosen him to be an high priest with the same rank as Melchizedek. There is much more I would like to say along these lines, but you don't seem to listen, so it's hard to make you understand. Jesus could sense the heart and mind of God in the Spirit and responded without ever sinning. Jesus sometimes hid himself from the religious Jews, trying to debate with him because his time had not yet come. John 2 and verse 4. Those who believe Christ used his divine nature today are listening to an antichrist spirit for the sake of their flesh. 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. Listening to a wrong voice resisting conviction will not give you an excuse to go on sinning. There should be no argument in your mind about making Jesus the high priest of your soul. He should have the final say on what you need to do in any situation by taking up your cross daily, not weekly, or when you feel like it. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading verse 11. "And every high priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Sacrifices in the old covenant, offered again and again, were not able to remove sin. Jesus is now the high priest and will tell you what you need to work on first to overcome sin. The new covenant is not the problem if you are born again, committing the same sin again and again at the same level of pressure. Stop making excuses. You will not find the reason why you cannot do what God says with your mind. You are dull of hearing because there is something else you want to hear instead that is not the truth. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. This is 1 John chapter 3. I'm reading verse 6. "Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him." Verse 7. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous." Verse 8. "And he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." in the Living Bible, 1 John 3 verses 6 to 8 says, so if we stay close to him, obedient to him, we won't be sinning either. But as for those who keep on sinning, they should realize this. They sin because they have never really known him or become his. Oh, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. If you are constantly doing what is good, it is because you are good, even as he is. But if you keep on sinning, it shows that you belong to Satan, who since he first began to sin has kept steadily at it. But the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. You have to get in the flesh to sin. You have a freedom in Christ, but this is to do what Christ would do in any situation. You get the same amount of grace Christ received to do everything under pressure if you abide. God is no respecter of persons. You have the best teacher to help you. In areas where you're listening to your flesh, you can be used by the devil as a hypocrite. Jesus gave this parable about leaders in the last days in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. I'm reading verse 19 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with him. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that which is thine. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word servant in Strong's is number 1401. It comes from another word which means a slave, literally or figuratively, involuntarily or voluntarily. Frequently, therefore, in a qualified sense of subjection or subserviency, a bondman, a bondservant. In the United Methodist Journal, someone wrote, the problems we face in the world and at this time are huge and overwhelming. We can't solve every problem. We can't do it all. But we can do something. It may be something very small, but we can do something, and who knows what big thing that may lead to. If everyone does his or her part, if we all do something, something good and positive, Even if it is something small, who knows where that may lead? It may seem like we have very little control right now, but we do have control over ourselves and our response. Talents are given to his servants on earth in this life to make enough money and complete their God-given mission on earth in a short period of time. This parable describes bondservants of God and how they will be judged for not multitasking. Leaders in the last days need to be faithful to conviction, especially when others are departing from the truth. Those faithful with their God-given talents trade with other servants to rule over many cities. Those trying to attract members to church preach a soft gospel without true repentance. No one will be ready by confessing the same sins again and again. Invest in the right people and make disciples instead. If God has given you only one talent, not as much is expected. The wicked and lazy servants believe lies for the sake of their flesh, that they need more talents. It's not wrong to be ignorant, but it is wicked and lazy to stay ignorant and use your mind to come to the truth for the sake of your flesh. If you do not want to work hard, there is an option to invest something in this world and get a small percentage. But you will not do that if you spend everything on seeking a comfortable Christian life. Those serving two masters at the end will be cast into outer darkness. We read in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Those with the confidence of the flesh see becoming like a little child as unnecessary or foolish. The disciples were arguing who was the greatest based on their talents, abilities, and skills. They were comparing themselves among themselves, which is not wise. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 2. Always compare yourself with Christ. Christ completely submitted to God, never used his divine power. He got all his wisdom and authority from seeking the will of the Father on earth. Where did you get your wisdom? Worldly wisdom used to keep everyone comfortable is devilish. James 3:15. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The world is passing away for the sake of his bride. Paul was perishing outwardly, but inwardly being renewed daily. This was not just when a big trial came along. He was not making any room for his flesh and taking up his cross daily. Are you going to make the same excuse for not developing your spiritual life by seeking something first other than the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Matthew 6:33. Now is the time to experience his grace with the right priorities. You will need more grace to obey under pressure. Purify your heart and mind and be honest about your motive and attitude at higher levels of pressure. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 25 to 29. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Those using the gift of eternal life now have the ability to test, and what they hear, they can discern if something is true or truth. They may not know why something is not the truth, but that is why we need to study. You can even say to somebody that what you are hearing is not the whole truth. Not everyone born again is always right, but everything born of him by the Spirit is righteous. You can be righteous too by acknowledging God in all your ways. Those born of God are like Christ up to a certain level of temptation. They got their wisdom on the narrow way through obeying the Holy Spirit to do the will of God more consistently. With God's anointing under pressure, you will abide and not sin by working out your own salvation. Eternal life is not just living forever. Eternal life is a promise for those hearing and obeying God on the narrow way. You cannot experience eternal life until you get off the broad road. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 24. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Verse 22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity, in chapter 13, on As Your Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph Hedgecott writes, pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you are determined to stand on what God says, his grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, he does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you are stubborn and insist that you can handle more than he requires, he may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but he will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the situation, he will then open another door with the same amount of pressure, because you have been strengthened and trained. You will be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you're able to endure, but will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. The promises of God are not at your command by quoting scripture. They had to be authorized through the communication system. Otherwise, it will not bring glory to God. Your communication needs to be state of the art. If you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, all your orders come this way. Your backup and supplies, as well as the information about what the devil is planning. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions, and send your answers to me. Number one, in your own words, explain what it means to be stiff-necked. Number two, what are some of the indications that you are becoming a priest of God, ready to rule with Christ? Number three, explain how having the right attitude and motive to please God in your own life can improve your spiritual hearing. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make Him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about overcoming deafness. I sincerely believe that God is speaking all the time. And He is faithful to give us what we can hear, what we have ears to hear. And if we're faithful in that, we'll be given more. We have to be faithful in our hearing and our doing. If the Word of God is changing your life, that is the best sign you're ready for what's coming next. And if you are hearing His voice now, you are blessed. Make sure you stay blessed by continually hearing and obeying His voice under pressure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this message. I thank you for those who are listening. Father, you have been speaking to them about areas they need to work on through this message. And my prayer now is that they will be faithful at every level and that they will have the blessed experience of you keep taking them to a new level in Jesus' name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you.